We'll start with the minutes of the 17th of October. There were a few actions off the minutes, but just to take the minutes page by page, page 1, 2, 3, that's it. Any? Anybody propose?
Doug? Yeah, sorry, in the report, so it's not in the minutes, it's from the report from last meeting. It included a section 106 update, and it included solar and offshore wind farms in this meeting's agenda, and they're not in this meeting's agenda. I'm just wondering why we can get an update on why that's the case.
Yeah, we'll come to that, because they are on a forthcoming agenda. Just going to the actual minutes. If you look at the result under EDP 10 on the second page, we resolved that Democratic Services set up an additional committee in February. That's actually happening, and I think we've got a date for that now.
4th of February.
So if anybody hasn't made a note of that, could you add it in? To feedback the recommendations of the chairman's meeting with the chief executive and head of law and governance to an additional economic development planning scrutiny committee in February 25. That's not happened yet. That was held up because I think Tim was not well. We've been asking for a revised date and we haven't got that yet, have we? So I hope that that will be forthcoming shortly. And then the Democratic Services lists items for discussion next year under future items. That's the one where I complained that after May we're told we can't set the agenda for July because it's the end of the municipal year, which is complete nonsense in my opinion. particularly in the year when there's no elections. Under EDP, anybody got any other points on that item? And then EDP 11, I did want to raise item C, we're still on page 2, that Cabinet are requested to investigate resources to enable enforcement to reach target. Have we got anywhere with that? I don't think we've actually picked that up yet, have we?
The item
that needs to come from me, presumably. Can the Cabinet member take that back to Cabinet?
Yes.
Should I just read it out to you again?
Please do.
Yeah, it's on your page 2, and it's that Cabinet are requested to investigate the resources to enable enforcement to reach its target, because enforcement is struggling to meet the number of requests that it's got. I think that's fair to say, Dean, is it?
I think that's actually countrywide, is it not? I read through the chain. There are lots of local authorities who are struggling to get enforcement officers. They're short now. Sunderland and Bradford was talking to me about Bradford, where they were short of enforcement officers up there.
Something that hopefully the Cabinet might pick up as well as part of that consideration.
It's definitely a topic, but Dean, I know, has got more detail on it.
Yeah, through you, Chair. As part of that, Cabinet did receive a report earlier this month where there was a request for additional resources for development management, including planning enforcement, which was an additional budget request in year. Cabinet approved that budget request, so enforcement does have the resource it needs for this year. There is a wider review of development management taking place. That work is underway, and once we've got the outcome of that review, we'll be presenting that to Cabinet for further consideration, and I think, Chair, we'll come back to this committee as well.
Okay.
So we have budget this year and resource this year, but there is a wider review taking place, and in relation to the point made by the member, yes, it is a national issue, and planning enforcement officers are very difficult to recruit to at the moment. We are currying our enforcement roles through agency staff at the moment. Obviously, we want to address that moving forward, and that's part of the wider review. So hopefully that gives you the answer you need, but it is an issue that will come back to Cabinet at a later date.
Happy with that? That satisfies that. Those were the items I picked out from the minutes for action. Anybody got any others? No. In that case, we move on to the next item, which is public question time, none, councillor session, none. And the members' item, I pass this over to Dee McNaughton straight away, and I think a sort of subsidiary to Doug for a paper that he's just circulated. So over to you, Dee.
Thank you. We've got an interim report. There is a number of bits of information that are still required, but we've asked for, which the email's gone out to ask for them, and we should get them if they are available over the next days, I would hope. We looked at, obviously, from the paper that you've got, the scope of the task and finish group was to assess the aspiration of users, visitors and residents of Stafford about the town centre, the impact of events can have on the vitality of the town and potential contribution to inward investment for events and the town itself. So there was additional work areas, which was about recommended approaches to the town centre events from the Stafford Borough Council, and to scrutinise the impact of the town's programme of commercial and local authority events since the completion of the Market Square and Victoria Park. The group initially was made up with the members, but obviously we lost Marnie when we in May. The stakeholders that were engaged were the market staff, the traders within the market then, because we started this some months ago before the market was closed. We also spoke to members. I personally went out with one of the members of staff from the market because she was she knew everybody because of the work that she'd done on other projects for the town. To ask people what they wanted, and Doug obviously looked into the commercial aspects and things from his point of view for us as well, which we will combine the report at the end when we've got the rest of the information. This is only interim. We also met with Mary Walker and members of the Town Centre Partnership that Mary put us onto, and we met at, when they relaunched it as well last year. And I know that they are doing a lot of work. The council are working very closely with Mary and the Town Centre Partnership now about moving forward and actually them really engaging with the work that the council has done, because we don't actually have the funds to actually provide and organise the events. So, as you see, the findings, and these are not exhaustive, but these are sort of a summary, really, of what a lot of people said. That was a number, and you can see from the appendix that there were a number of events, and I've put the stone in as well for a potential future ideas for here in Stafford itself, because I know how popular they have been by the stone. So there were a number of events organised over the last 12 months and up right up until Christmas that have been and are very popular and regular events such as the Farmers Market and the event on a Thursday night once a month, etc. The anecdotal evidence, so because a lot of the traders, because of the economic climate, etc., were quite reluctant to give us a lot of information, didn't really want to be named, which was a shame, although some of them with Mary Walker would happily come along. But they felt very strongly that moving the marathon, or the end of the marathon, to Victoria Park, and I know why it was done last year, because the Market Square was being built or redone. But they had noticed, and it was anecdotal, but they said, a lot of them said very strongly that the town felt like it was dead. It had moved, it just pulled it. It was like it sucked the life out of the town. And they, you know, it was normally an event that it had extra staff on, and the amount of work and footfall increased hugely. Therefore, and they made a lot of profit that they could ride out some of the leaner times because of the events, particularly with the marathon, the Ironman. And I appreciate that, you know, the Ironman has been organised by an external people. You know, they come here and they're not coming here; they're moving on. But those sort of events, but even the Stafford Half Marathon that is so, so popular, actually brought a lot of trade into the town, and they could help that profit, their profits over the year, to ride out the quieter periods of the town, of trading times. One of the big issues that we found, and was resolved, very quickly by Judy Wallace, was that actually people couldn't, if they wanted to hire the Market Square, and there were a number of events that said they would have liked to have done, particularly now that it's been renovated, but they didn't know how to find out about it, they didn't know who to go to, they didn't know how much it costed. It was there, it was in that huge document, and I think we discussed it at this meeting. It was in a document, but it was sort of page 69 of a 90-page document, and it was one paragraph, and you had to go through the whole lot. Judy Wallace sorted that within 24 hours, because it was within her remit at the time, and it was very evident straight away on the front. If you put in Stafford Borough Council, you can find it very quickly, how much it costs, etc. So that was resolved very quickly. Again, it wasn't obvious who to contact, where to go, who to go to. It always went back, and it managed to filter down to the market staff that had been sort of caretaker in the post. It had never been official that they looked after the Market Square, but they did, because it was near the market, it was easy, and they were efficient at doing so. And I think it was also historic, from what I can understand, because of the fact that they started the farmers market, so everything else went to them as well, and they looked after it.
Say that again. Who started the farmers market?
It was because they looked after the farmers market, because of the farmers market.
The borough.
Yeah. That it was left to the market staff to organise, and they sort of inherited any other event. It wasn't sort of in anybody's job description. They just did it, really, because it worked, because they knew the market, they knew who to contact, and there was no, as I say, it wasn't in anybody's job description within the market. It had never been written down that they'd look after it. They just did it, so it sort of evolved.
They took over from Lisa Clemson through you, Chair.
No.
Because we used to have an officer that used to run
on. Yeah, and I think
the market staff always ran the farmers market.
Yeah, they did, but
they've never run at other events, no.
No, they just coordinated it because they did. Nobody could answer it. It just sort of evolved to that and I don't think anybody must have been, nobody mentioned that lady's name, so they were obviously newer from that, nobody really knew that was about now, how the market staff had took over doing the organising and coordinating.
Yeah. Because I've been here so long, yeah. The history is that Rob Gatensbury, who would have been in Dean's department now, was responsible for organising all events in the market. Mm. So it came under this department, and the scrutiny, if you like, always, but the market staff didn't actually do the events. It was Robert Gatensbury and his team, who were, I don't know what they were, business, they were the equivalent of Martine now.
Yeah, and the staff that are there now were at the market were obviously post that period.
So that
needs
sorting.
Everybody I asked, nobody seemed to know.
So it needs sorting.
Yeah, but it's been sorted now.
Okay.
Are you now saying, in fact, that that's going to be rectified so that we're looking at taking it now, starting, finishing, whatever, in the market square rather than...
I don't know. Because Freedom Leisure run the actual marathon, don't they? We don't run it. It's just that.
Did you find out if they're responsible for the events in the market?
Not many. They just use they. A lot of them are private hire, private. Apart from the Christmas light switch on, we're responsible for very little. That although we're responsible for supporting it, the actual council don't actually put very much on. No. Other than the mayor making and remembrance, is there's about three or four that was very few that we actually do as a council,
which is what you'd expect.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. One of the big things that came out, particularly from the public, but even from traders within the market, is that they within the town centre. Regardless of whether it's hospitality or shops or markets, was finding out what was going on in the future for future planning. The advertising was very poor. If they knew somebody that was doing involved in it, they found out about it. But the actual advertising of it, which is a shame, because it might have been a lot more popular and might bring in a lot more footfall. If they had, they knew about it, and it's everything was quite disparate. So there might be something going on in the town, but it wasn't advertised. If you're on the Facebook page, you'd find it, but not everybody's on Facebook. If you were, if you worked in a certain store or you were involved in it, you might find out about it. But there was no conjoined sort of. Or like a spider's web, a sort of a central information hub that would lead you off. So if you were coming from outside of Stafford, say you were coming to an event at the county showground, but the family wanted to come, but they didn't want to actually say it's the motorbike show, for instance. They wanted to bring the family, but they didn't want to go to the motorbike show. They didn't know what was going on in the rest of the town, and there might have been a market on. So that it might have brought the family with them. They could have gone to the market, they could have gone to the bike show, and then met up, perhaps had something to eat or had a drink or something. And that, again, would have brought more footfall in. So it was really difficult to find one central place to find out what was going on, and particularly for future. So, if you're planning ahead, you can't. And the traders, particularly, and I'll call them traders as an overarching rather than... but they were saying that, such as an event like Saturday with the light switch on, they bring more staff in. They plan ahead because it brings lots of people in, so they knew they'd be busy. The lady in Peccadillo's Saturday I was talking to, because I'd spoken to her before, and she was saying that, if the light switch on, they know when that's coming because it's every year. But she has to bring in twice as many staff as she normally has to deal with all the customers, and it's wonderful. But because they didn't know when things were coming all the time, unless they searched out for it, they couldn't plan ahead either. And that's one of the things that they wanted so that people don't get fed up for queuing. Because they've got plenty of staff.
It just seems that there's absolutely no coordination whatsoever about what's going on in the town centre. Because who is coordinating all these different organisations and all these different events? it doesn't seem to be a person that you go to get all that information.
When it comes to the website, everything is on Enjoy Staffordshire, isn't it?
Yeah.
So presumably that is promoted across the whole of the county.
And that's the thing, it's not Joy. It needs...
So all the Stafford events are under the Stafford and Stone block.
You've got to know about that website. So if you came on the Stafford Borough Council website, it's about linking or the Staffordshire County website. Or all the tourist information. It's about linking up, having all those linked that leads off. So, for instance, I don't know personally, I've done it, you know, I'm going to, say, Padstow in Cornwall. I'll go on the tourist information site, but then it'll link me to this and it'll link me to that. And I know I've got to go to it, but...
Did you investigate that as a group? And you found if you went in tourist information, you couldn't get anything about Stafford,
wasn't very much because there isn't a big bucket of information. So somebody was, holding an event at the county showground. It wasn't being fed into say the Stafford Borough or vice versa, or if they were holding it, it wasn't being fed out.
Was that mobility?
Yeah. So it's as if you need somebody to have this central bucket where you and people to know when they've got events, they could advertise those events because they don't know where they're advertising it on their own websites or their own information, but they're not putting it on to a centre because it's so difficult to find out who to send it to and what to send it. So they wanted somebody...
I do remember, I go back too far, but the Town Centre Partnership had a responsibility for this. All this information was fed into the Town Centre Partnership on a very simple website that we set up for them, where individual businesses could actually put their stuff onto the website themselves. So I don't quite understand what's happened there. I mean, that's a matter for the Town Centre Partnership.
It's about people want to be spoon-fed. If they, you know, they want, like, everybody's got a busy, and I think that's what came out of it. If you make a big effort, you can find it. But people don't want to make a big effort.
Are they putting it on themselves? No.
Exactly.
They're not putting it on.
I'm sure we used to put the information of events in notice boards.
We did.
There was one down the town. There used to be one in the Guildhall. And all that information used to be put on.
Yeah.
So I assume, again, that's what Lisa Clemson was doing.
Yeah, exactly.
As the responsible person.
And the other thing is not everybody's on the internet or can use it or wants to use it.
That's why they were created.
It's got to be, any information has got to be in various forms. So, you know, it's horses for courses, isn't it? You've got to have various forms to be able to put that information out. You know.
I think people still want a leaflet, but if not everybody sits all day on their computer, you know, sort of searching stuff in the net, whatever it is you call it. I don't want to sit all day looking to see if Stafford Borough Council, what is on there. If we can pick up a leaflet in the civic offices, you know, in any of the businesses in the town, to know what is coming up in the different months.
I noticed, and I haven't put it in the report because I actually only noticed it when I was walking across the other day. It was they've now got an electronic bus by between us and the county council, haven't they? There.
Yeah.
So if you had, say, for instance, those around the town, and you're walking through and you think, oh, gosh, did you know so-and-so was on? You know. That's why they have those big advertising in Piccadilly Circus, isn't it? People want to be moved. Sorry.
And there are signs, Chairman, as you come into Stafford, that are there for advertising, which aren't used hardly at all, as I know.
Yeah. I think,
but it just sounds as though you wouldn't think Stafford had been around for any length of time at all, would you, really?
I think
listen to this because people don't seem to know what's going on here.
Exactly. And I think when we were talking to Mary Walker in particular, I think a lot of what had been going on through the Town Centre Partnership or the Town Centre, leading on or doing had slipped with COVID. A lot of it went.
Can I just ask you a question on this? Some while ago, before COVID, the Town Centre Partnership was given a sum of money and then a follow-up sum of money to look into investigate the possibility of setting up a business information district. I don't know where that money's gone, and I have no idea what they have done about setting up the business improvement district. Other districts have done so. Some have been a failure and some have been a significant success. But the point is that the opportunity has been there for a while, and there isn't the motivation that I can see amongst the businesses themselves to make these things happen, and it's so important. This has to be business driven. The Borough Council can't lead these things. It's got to be done by business. And the question really, that if this is an interim report, would be for you to go back and say, what is it that you yourselves could and should be doing to make sure that your businesses are promoted, advertised, open on a Sunday when the big events are happening? How many businesses were open for the half marathon on Sunday? How many businesses were open for the original, what's it called?
The big thing.
Well, for switching the lights on, and how many businesses stay open for the switching the lights on after 5 o'clock? If it was a continent, they would. Why do our businesses not do it? And it's frustrating.
Sharon, there's a comparison to Trenton Gardens, because Trenton Gardens put on a lot of things, and they certainly are advertising.
And all those shops are open.
And people respond to it. Great queues trying to get into the place, much worse than trying to get into Stafford. And I would have thought there's some lessons to be learned there, really. But it's a question of, you know, they seem to be able to promote themselves quite well.
Yeah.
And they are in Stafford Borough, which yes. A lot of people forget, Joanna.
Yeah, they are.
Did you talk to Trenton?
I didn't know because...
I mean, not you personally, but your group.
No, but, I mean, we can do that, and that's not... because it is only an interim, it's not a final.
Maybe the town centre manager or town centre coordinator.
I think it would be helpful to ask Mary Walker what's happened to the bid.
And I would, yeah.
It would be helpful.
Nobody in the whole time has mentioned it back to... We didn't know that had happened.
No, I probably should have sat on the group because it's only probably as the...
Because we're all relatively group. New, aren't we?
Sorry.
I think, yes, it would be useful to have that further discussion with Mary. Obviously, we are supporting Mary and the Town Centre Partnership to get back up and running. Unfortunately, Martine Manning isn't here tonight because she wouldn't have been able to explain what work she's doing. She's recently taken back responsibility for working with the Town Centre Partnership. It did come under Martine previously, then it moved.
Mm-hmm.
They have been provided with money to set up a new website and look at kind of the wider programme around events and marketing. So I think that discussion could take place and hopefully feed in those discussions to the final report. In terms of overall marketing, we have the our beautiful borough website. I've just had a look. I mean, there are lots of... It is up to date. There are lots of websites. Events on there.
Yeah, since we started this, the Task and Finish group, that has... Because obviously we raised the publicity side of things, or promotion side of things from the off. And that has improved considerably.
Yeah.
You can see the notable difference from when we started to now, having looked at it very recently myself to find something. But it's knowing that website it has grown phenomenally. It's so much better. But it's also about knowing that website's there, because a lot of people don't know that it even existed.
Mm. Yeah, for you, Chair. I think that's fair. As I say, it is up to date. All the events are on there, which is good. Yeah. But it's making sure people are aware.
And they're linked to Destination Staffordshire as well.
Yeah, and we know that they are updating their website at the moment. But it's, I think the point I was going to make is about connecting all of this up, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also making sure that, you know, and not everyone, as you say, uses social media or the internet, although the majority do now, but there will be people who can't get access online, and we do need to consider that.
And it's sometimes it's about a taster, isn't it? It's about if you see a poster in town about it, you'll go and find out about it. But if you don't know it's happening, you won't go and find out about it.
Can I say that?
It's Brian next.
Yeah, I just
and then Peter.
Was there any benchmarking done against towns like Lichfield or Stroud that are very successful in running town centre events and such like? Is it worth going outside our little circle and explore other places like that, as we did many years ago on planning and regeneration when we went to places like Stratford and to see housing in the countryside, and it was well worthwhile. I think we went to Lichfield as well for looking at the planning and compared it with the monstrosity that was built behind B&Q's, for example, which is, I think, why we then employed the design planner, which has proved very effective. And I just wondered if that you thought of looking at that sort of thing to benchmark against more successful places.
Peter
next.
I was just going to make the point that you mentioned Trenton, of course, that recently going, having been up there when they had a function on, it was not just the function being advertised verbally but audio wise, but they were also plugging their next one.
Yeah.
We don't do that.
Right. Yep.
You know, we're lucky if we get our own one happening there at the same time, but they are one step ahead of us, looking at the next event that they've got planned and getting it to people's minds. So if they're enjoying that particular scene of that time, and they're told the next one is happening in a month or 2 months' time, they're immediately saying, "Oh, we'll come down to that next time."
So I noticed that I've been a quite frequent flyer to Trenton. And in a way, they're very similar to us. They've got one high street.
Yeah.
They've got one, and it is a high street. It's just a modern high street, out of a town, isn't it? But, you know, they've got that modern, and everybody has to go through the main entrance into, so that works. Well, now, we've developed, the way that we're developing the town centre, that's the market square, isn't it? They've got a square, all right, you're going to Trenton, but it's the same sort of thing, isn't it? That you've got that, and we could do that. We could have those electronic boards or whatever to advertise. And as you say, it would be a great idea to plug the next straight away.
Doug, do you want to do you want to tell us about your paper as well at the same time?
So the appendix is what I have written, I make no apologies for it being an academic document. I am an academic by trade, so it is referenced and it has a bibliography. And it's written on the basis of a desk-based study, looking at the currently available literature, so talking about kind of benchmarking against other places. Rather than kind of visiting, I've looked at people who've done long-term research into someone whose PhD was long-term research into a number of towns in the Tech Valley, looking at what was successful, what wasn't successful, and they developed quite a substantial post-event review process which told them which elements of it made it more successful and less successful. So rather than just looking kind of overall at what was successful, they were able to unpick the specific aspects of it that made it successful. I think there's a number of kind of useful things in here. So kind of one of the important things I think to highlight is where we look at event impacts, that there are positive and negative impacts for events. If we are promoting events in the town centre, there is as many positive aspects that we might expect to see come from them as there are negative impacts from them. It's possible There's one of the kind of economic studies that were done that looked at it, and there is a degree to which the economic aspect of it is that it's economic dead weight. So it's spending that might take place on a day, but actually the spending would have taken place anyway. So the event itself doesn't necessarily increase spending in the economy. All it does is move where that spending took place. That could be beneficial to Stafford as a smaller like subset within the economy, in that it might have been spending that was done at, might have been done on Amazon, has now been done at our high street, which obviously is beneficial, but to the overarching economic picture, there is a possibility that it makes very little change at all beyond employment to run the event. In terms of kind of the biggest aspects of the benefits that contribute to kind of the term they use in the literature, it's vitality, is a kind of idea of cultural buzz, and a term which I think I've got in quotes because I think it's very silly, but they describe it as psychic income, which is from a study, basically it was from a study that was trying to justify why big football matches are a good idea, but it had a number of kind of useful concepts kind of packed into it, things around community pride, community attachment, event excitement, community infrastructure and community excitement, all of which we can kind of look at things like the half marathon as providing something for people want to go and watch, the same with the light switch on, the same with Stafford Pride, so on and so forth. These are all things which develop a number of different aspects which are beneficial to the town centre but are not necessarily directly linked to specific economic benefits. And I think one of the really useful things that comes out of some of this research is the idea that the types of events that are specifically beneficial and useful and how they're kind of sequenced is incredibly important. One of the things they talk about, and when you look at the methodology, this is very much based on talking to consumers and people attending events and why they attend events and people who don't attend events and why they don't attend events. One of the key aspects that kind of relate to that is this idea of authenticity. So people attend events that are rooted in place, space, history, and community. From what Francis said earlier, kind of very much supporting the idea it shouldn't be the Borough Council or the County Council running the events. It should be something that's kind of rooted in community, and it should be people beyond, whether that's businesses or not, it should come from outside, and our role in it is working out what it is that we can do to promote that. Variety, I think if we look at the list of events, there's a degree to which there's some gaps within that. And I think there's an opportunity to kind of map that and work out, right, there's this list of events, this is taking place, what things can be kind of encouraged to fill in those spaces. And the final thing is kind of regularity. When you look at it, most weekends are covered in that. So at the moment, there is a degree to which there is a fairly good regularity. But it's the variety, and perhaps when you look at it, the level of kind of authenticity that there's kind of beyond Stafford Pride and the Food and Music Festival, these are things organised by the market team, the Mayor's Office, and Freedom Leisure, and the council directly. So. Yeah, there is a degree to which some of the events are top down within that.
Yep.
So I think there's, I've listed some kind of further areas that I think are worth investigating. One of them that I think is really important that I think needs highlighting is a post-event process to ensure that we know what should the review of an event look like, and how do we measure success, what areas are we interested in discussing in terms of success for the borough, which will obviously be different to the event organisers, which will be different to people in the Town Centre Partnership. We have a slightly different perspective on it, and I think the concept, the underlying concept, this idea of kind of town centre vitality is something that I hope we can kind of recognise within that, but capturing that exactly and how that might work is a slightly bigger piece of work.
Yeah, it's real food for thought. I absolutely understand where you're coming from, and it makes a lot of sense. Thanks, Doug, for that.
Before we talk about your motivation, right? You've had a good time in the town centre, you'll look for events at the town centre, you'll come back to the town centre. Whether that's events or whether that's shopping experience, it's motivation. Likewise, if you've not had a great time in the town centre, if you've been put off by what you've seen on Facebook, if you don't know what's coming up, you probably won't go looking for it. And so those various websites that we talked about, if you say what's on in Stafford, you get these sites, and they'll tell you what's on, but you don't look for it because you're not motivated. So one of the things that comes out of, especially your report, Dee, is why can't we get a poster of what's going on in the next couple of months and distribute it around the shop windows, distribute it around the pubs? They've always got the stuff on for the World Cup. Why can't we get them to do it so that we know, so that you see, so that you look forward to, so you can be motivated to come back to the town centre when you're in it? We can start to do something like this, working with the Town Centre Partnership. I'll talk to Martin, who's doing a high street boost right now. So there's some really good ideas coming out of this.
Can I just say, who's the we?
Well, like I say, I'll talk to Martin about the high street boost campaign. We've got the Town Centre Partnership that's there as well. There is someone there. When you look at Trentum, it's the people that run Trentum, not the individual shopkeepers, but the people that run Trentum that bring it together. Right? Because an individual small shopkeeper probably doesn't have the skills to market someone else's event, yeah, or to market something at someone else's pub. You need someone to bring this together, and it's probably not the skill set.
Do you think it's the responsibility of the Town Centre Partnership?
Or the borough, or an officer within the borough, or someone else. We need to look at that and coordinate it. And you're absolutely right. I don't care what the solution is. Sorry, I don't care what the method is. Solution is someone that can motivate people to come back to our town centre, that they know what's coming up, they know why to come back.
Yes, so
and I think
that's an action you'll need to take note of, Dee, as a possibility.
I can see Jackie's writing it down, thank you. But yeah, definitely. But it feeds, sort of feeding on from very much what Doug said,
yeah,
is if particularly as we with what you said about the Town Centre Partnership, is they've got their motivation is profit, isn't it? And a successful business. So if they want to, we're asking them to be leading in this, we can support them through whatever, but we're not leading on. They have got to be the ones, because we haven't got the money, I understand. I've spoken to Greg to bring a lot of this together and to challenge and to speak to him and that, and some of the information I've got from him, it's through yourself, is about what their motivation, and they're very much pushing or supporting, moving forward, encouraging the Town Centre Partnership to take this remit on, to run these events and
absolutely
to do the, which is what is wanted, but, and that's where Doug's comes in. What's the motivation? It's profit, isn't it? But we've got two stakeholders here. We've got the town centre businesses that need the profit, but then we've got the people. What do they want as well? You know, if you're putting on stuff that they're not wanting, it's juggling that, isn't it? So and it is about having that coordination.
And it's making it pleasant when they're here. So making sure that Stafford Place is lit when people
yes
are walking from one part of town to the other. Making sure that they are having a pleasant time when they are traipsing around town or when they are eagerly going to the next place.
I know Francis wants to look at, and we're all about the night. I didn't really look at the night life. And
nighttime economy.
To
use the jargon.
Yeah, thank you. Nighttime economy, really. I've been somebody that, I mean, I do use the gatehouse, but actually, if you walk through the town, and I looked at this year, time of year, but it's not that busy. So
no,
we will look at that. I mean, I know I did speak to the manager in the Market Vaults. and the two down the bottom that I can't remember, the Hog's Head or something, and that I didn't, I spoke to somebody that worked in the Swan who's been there a very long time, but that was just, I didn't speak to the manager, they weren't actually available on the day, but and I haven't been back, but I'm quite happy to go in and talk to
I think it, but, yeah, I mean, remember yes. You've got a group of
yeah,
you,
yeah,
it's
well, yeah,
not just you.
Not me, but yeah, I'm
just
happy.
Give them all a job
yeah,
to do.
I will do, yeah.
The Nighttime Economy, the Nighttime Industries Association report came out a few weeks ago for the previous year, which talks a lot about kind of post-COVID, but also it kind of identifies the cost of doing business crisis. It describes it as so increased costs and all those types of things as being a significant factor, but also huge changes in the way that young people socialise.
Yeah.
Massive changes relating to, a lot of it is kind of a relocation of the locus away from activities which have drinking alcohol at the centre of them to other activities, basically. The biggest growth areas are immersive experiences and competitive socialising.
So you can feed that at
the, yeah.
You can feed that
this
into
the
Dean.
I teach, so
Dean.
Come back on that. No, that's a really interesting point. I'm not a young person though, but I've got young children. Competitive socialising is the big growth area. Gen Zers, as they are called, they have a different take on when I was younger and I went to university. It was about going out. It was about socialising and drinking and having fun. They're much more conscious of their health and their well-being, and actually they want to have fun, and actually they've got more of a social conscience than perhaps the people of my generation. So it is that competitive socialising, it's creating experience. So, you know, whether it escape rooms and, you know, all these kind of things that offer people a real experience. And we have an escape room in Stafford, it's
really
just
deep.
Not in the town. It's on the edge of the town centre.
No, there's one in the middle.
There's one in the middle.
Yeah.
I haven't been to that
one.
But it's those kind of things that offer people something different. And the events as well. So, So I think that's a really important point. But overall, there's a number of areas. There's around the coordination, you know, and can we provide resource to coordinate? Are all the websites talking to each other, and are we joining it all up, and are people aware of it? And then there's that issue around the town centre partnership. We can do our events, but what can they offer? Can they get themselves in a position where they're being proactive? And picking up on the chair's point around the business improvement district, and a lot of the areas, the towns similar to Stafford, that do very well with events have business improvement districts, because they are actually generating the resource and the momentum to organise the more authentic events, and something that's very different to what we're providing. So I think, Chair, in terms of the final report, it'd be useful to delve into some of those issues. And I think member made a comment about other towns as well. Maybe pick three or four towns similar size. What are they doing, and can we learn
exactly.
Some lessons? So just some thoughts from each other.
Thank you, that's very helpful as well, Jenny.
Yeah, just on the question of posters and advertising in businesses, they won't have bits of paper in windows, so it would have to be upmarket, it would have to be done in a good format, perhaps like Dee said, the digital boards, because their businesses don't want to advertise things that will make their business look a mess.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well, the wacky idea, why don't the working group go out and do some of this competitive socialising, go to an escape room, use it as part of your experience, and try and learn what it is that the nighttime economy needs to be and is becoming. There's, as I said, there's 200% of the town, there's bowling, there's all sorts of things. Just go and explore that as if you are a punter. Why would you come back?
start to understand to why our residents might want to come back.
I think you don't need to underestimate the number of young people who still go out to Top of the World or whatever it's called now.
We're just relaunching that one, aren't we?
Yeah. So it's certainly worth having a look at that end of town,
yeah,
and the evening economy at that part of town, and talk to the street pastors and the police while you're about it.
Since I was old enough to drink, 75% of the country's nightclubs have shut.
Yeah.
So in the mid-2000s, there were around 4,000, and there are less than 1,000 nightclubs.
So it'd be interesting to see if they are at risk.
And it's places like...
Caza,
for
yes.
Example. That used to be absolutely buzzing. It's not anymore. Really, but places like the Sun or the... what's the Candied Beer... Those sort of, I still call it the chains, but it's now called the Market Vaults. Those sort of places are buzzing.
And who goes to them? And it would be very interesting to know who actually frequents them.
I must admit, the Candied.
Older people.
The Candied is
older
actually.
Are they older? Where do the young people go?
Is quite mixed, but.
Okay.
Particularly
the Doghouse.
Friday and Saturday. Yeah, those sort of places, but it is our.
They've got music on as well. They put the
where the youngsters and what can we? Yeah.
They always put entertainment on.
When you pick this work up again, could you look at basic things like the? Can you just do simple things like looking at the parking fees that have come in, but whether the all the work that's been done in the Market Square and for the town is actually making a difference to people coming into town can be measured in terms of the people actually parking in the car parks. So you've got the facility for hard evidence, but it needs to go into the report, I suggest, more than just talking to people and getting their opinions.
I mean, Hogarth put an event on and the place was rammed, that's a few months ago. And they're at the bottom end of town,
Can I just say, bowling seems to be making a comeback. Now, we did go to the bowling alley by the cinema, Riverside here, and it was very well supported by all age groups. Lovely place, very clean, and...
That's the new generation
one.
Dean's talking about.
Yeah.
Well,
and the roof fell in on the one at Madford Park.
Yeah, there's the Tenpin, which has had recent investment, and it's got escape room, laser tag, bowling. That is where young people are going.
Yes, well,
age groups, they're much more wanting to do something family orientated. But I think, going back to my earlier point, it's what are other towns doing year-round that provide kind of a diversity of events. Back to your point, variety, and there are towns of a similar size to that do this all year round, but it then goes back to resourcing as well. How do you resource it, and who's best placed to do that? Is it the borough, or is it a town centre partnership? Is it a business improvement district? Is it somebody else? So there's a lot more probably that we could do, but it's how you make it happen.
I think the manager, when I spoke to him, he'd be quite happy to take advice and help from, to promote the bowling,
Can we call someone like this in to do a presentation to us as a group?
Well, maybe.
Or a tour
of
that.
Very well. That's the
bowling,
next one.
Sure.
Can we aim to get action it quite quickly, because it's been going on since last November now? All of that, and also the building works. We decided that the renovation of the town will make a difference anyway.
It wasn't all negative. There was an awful lot of positivity about it.
They like the benches.
They loved the people, particularly in the summer when we had the good weather. People stayed in the town, ate their lunch. They could tell they were office workers, but they stayed in the Market Square. The only thing that they did say about it was actually it would be nice to have a few more benches and places to sit, but they were sitting on the steps.
So one of the questions will be, how do we interact with the local people who use the town to find out what they want out of it? Do we do that at all?
Seating areas, there's 18 places there now where they used to have what? Six before.
Yeah.
So it's better.
It has been popular, yeah. But particularly when it was lovely, the weather was good, and we did have a little tiny now and again. When the weather was really good, it was good. And they did say, like, them in Boots and around the square were saying how popular it was, and people would, Greggs particularly loved it, because they had to increase the amount of products that they had in order to fulfil the requirements of people sitting in the market square eating their lunch. So they were
thank
very
you.
Happy.
I'm going to move us on, because yeah. We've spent a lot of time on this, but you've got a working group. I just wonder whether, because there's been such a lot of interest in this topic this evening, whether the whole committee acts as a task and finish group to take it the next little bit further forward. If that would be of interest, and you could set some meetings up through Jackie, and they don't need to be, you don't need officers there, so it's just ourselves basically. Mm-hmm. And we can drive the agenda based on the information that's come out of tonight. Is that okay?
The only thing, excuse me, Chair, that was an issue with some of the businesses didn't get the flower borders refurbished with flowers, particularly where Lowe's Fruit Shop is, and there's quite a lot of businesses in that back of the old kind of area.
Okay,
so I don't know who's...
That's street scene. I should think. Have a word with street scene and mention it to them.
I think there's an issue as well that it belongs to the county now, that it used to be managed by whoever owned it.
It's worth asking street scene.
Yeah,
you could take that upon yourself to ask street scene, because you know what the issue is.
I don't think unless the room is there, I don't think they
went to him. Okay. Thank you very much. I'm moving on to the next item. Have you got everything down, Jackie? All right.
Just have a short hand, Brent.
What?
It's an age
thing. So thank you very much, Dee, for that, and thank you, Doug, for your extra input. And I think we've got a good way forward to make something of it. We shall exclude the cabinet member from the meeting. The task and finish,
yes,
but
please.
We're delighted to have any input that you like to make to it separately.
I will feed in whatever,
because we'll be feeding into the cabinet, I'm sure. And the next item is the quarter two performance report. That's you, Dean, isn't it?
Yeah, happy to go through that. This is the report as at the end of quarter two against the projects in our priority delivery plan for 24-25. If you want to go through page by page.
Yep.
So first page is the summary of progress. You'll see we've got three actions complete, one on target, four actions behind schedule. So page four.
I'm looking at page...
Four.
Yeah, it is page four.
Yep.
So everybody got the right page? Starts Stafford Town Centre transformation, delivery of major economic growth regeneration projects.
Yeah, so as per the report there, station approach work will start after Christmas, and the co-op acquisition is now complete.
When you say after Christmas, are we talking Jan, Feb?
January.
Yeah.
When does quarter three begin?
We're in quarter three.
When quarter
October,
three?
November, December. So we haven't done updates for quarter three.
Yeah.
So we'll see, that'll be the next meeting.
So any questions on that page, anyone? Next page, page five. Any comments there, Dean?
No, we've got gateways as a separate item. Local plan, we've submitted a response to the National Planning Policy Framework consultation. We're currently waiting for confirmation of when the new national planning policy framework.
Do we have any idea of when it's going to be published?
Possibly by the end of the year is what we're
expecting. Not by the end of the month?
No, end of the year.
Over Christmas, so nobody can comment on it.
Probably.
Sounds like
Charles Sweet, but we'll obviously present an update on that future meeting.
Right. Review of the evidence base for the local plan.
Yeah.
So that's ongoing now.
Ongoing, yeah. In terms of development management, we've appointed a consultant to do an external review of the service, and obviously, as indicated earlier, we'll bring a presentation back to the committee when that work is complete.
On the item agree approach to design coding and conservation area appraisals, what's that mean?
It means design coding we'll have to do as part of our local plan, so it will be how we do that design coding. Conservation area appraisals, it will be which area appraisals do we need to update, do we need any new ones?
Right.
The topic is my heart, so I'll make sure that they get the attention boxes.
Yep. So it's nothing sinister in that,
no.
They're just ongoing.
It's just to determine how we're going to do it, how we're going to procure the work and timetable.
Okay. And the reintroducing pre-app advice on chargeable basis, now that's obviously very pertinent and interesting, and it's in quarter three.
Yeah, yeah. There's a report due to come to cabinet.
You should see activity on it in Q3.
Yeah.
So that could come to scrutiny in the February meeting. Yeah. Anybody got any comments on that page apart from that? Page 7. And we talked about planning enforcement.
Yeah.
Do we actually have enforcement officers in the borough, or are they outsourced to different places?
Mr. Chair, all of our enforcement officers are agency staff at the moment. We don't have any permanent members of staff. That is obviously part of the wider review that I've talked about. We only have we have one permanent enforcement officer who works for Cannock Chase Council, and we are exploring the potential to share that resource.
Right, but it's just I have an ongoing problem in my ward where there was an appeal, the inspector made recommendations, and now 6 months has passed and nothing has happened.
I don't think that's unusual.
No.
Sorry.
No,
of course. I'm happy. Okay. Give me the details
of
that.
When you look at it separately.
Yeah, if I have an email, it's 11 Trinity Gorse, if I remember.
Yeah, if you email us.
Okay.
If it's a simple one.
There has been an enforcement officer said she was going to go and see it. That was a month ago.
We'll pick that one up separately.
I'll send you the mails up here on it.
You've got one program and project allocations, including Cannock Chase SAC and leisure, through updated evidence base. Again, can you just explain what you mean by that?
So that effectively means we allocate, we come up with a forward program for Section 106 monies and for monies that we collect through the SAC. So it's a forward plan of projects that will be funded through those funding sources. So it isn't due till quarter four, but we have got an item on Section 106 at a future meeting, so we can
pick it up then.
Pick it up with Alex at a meeting and go through the detail.
I'm now on to page 8. Anything on that one?
That's land charges, which is not my area, but
that's got a star, so we think that must be okay.
Must be, yeah. That is Gabrielle is the head of service. Yeah. She's not here this evening.
And the procure the replacement IT system. Any comment on that?
Q4. But again, if you want any further information on land charges, Gabrielle probably would need
to come
to this meeting.
So that's that page. That's it.
Bless you. Performance indicators.
So these KPIs being
lined
up in a bigger report,
won't they? Yeah, so the KPIs on page 11, you'll see the planning indicators, which we report each quarter.
Excuse me. Bless you.
Thank you. So planning performance in terms of determining major planning applications within time for quarter two is just under 88%, target is 60%, and for non-major applications, 86%. Which is comfortably above the 70% target.
Okay.
We haven't got the data for the appeals, but hopefully we'll get that. And I think in terms of enforcement data, we don't include that in this report, but we did say we'd bring it back as part of the development management update.
At the next meeting?
Yes.
That's the February meeting, isn't it?
Yes.
Yep.
We need a way of tracking it, looking at it, holding it up.
Yeah, absolutely. And making sure it's not smoke and mirrors.
That's the hard part. Huh?
You can scrutinise it accordingly.
Exactly. Customers satisfied. There's only one negative. That was interesting.
That's building control.
Oh, building control. That's fine.
Dave? Again, it's not my area, but they don't get that many responses to the customer satisfaction survey, so the numbers are quite low.
No, they do very well.
So you have one response that's negative and it skews the figures.
How are the percentages and the numbers calculated?
For customer satisfaction?
Yeah.
So it's based on the number of responses. They send a customer satisfaction survey out. And based on the number of responses saying they're satisfied or very satisfied, they calculate a percentage. They're really small numbers. They don't get a lot of surveys back. So 80%, you know, you can go from 100 to 80% because there's only a few people actually respond.
Five.
Yeah.
The last one was 90%. I assume there were 10 and one.
Yeah.
And on that, what's the correlation between people responding negatively and people who have had their building control rejected?
I don't know. I'd have to look at that. But it always has been a big problem trying to get people to fill the surveys out. We send them out. We do paper copies as well. It's not all electronic. Because, again, going back to the earlier point, some people just want to fill a form out. It's really difficult. Yeah. It's almost like once they've got their decision, they've moved on.
You don't know what the negative response
is. No, but I can certainly ask Gabrielle and ask her to kind of let you know.
It's not a problem area as far as one can see.
No.
If they were upset, you'd get 20 responses.
Exactly. And they always seem to be a very good and friendly service.
Generally, yes.
Generally.
No, they are generally well regarded. So, you know, one negative response, it's one more than we'd like, but I think overall, with the amount of customers they deal with,
pretty good.
It's pretty good.
So yeah. I'll now move on, if everybody's happy with that, to the paper that the presentation Martine would have given, and I think you're going to do it, Dean, on the UK SPF update.
Thank you, Chair.
Part of this is confidential, so if you want to talk about the pink pages, we'll need to go into confidential session.
No one from the press.
No.
Press aren't here.
Okay.
But we need to say it nonetheless.
Okay.